Alec, what I'd like to do is just I'd like to go back maybe to the just revisit the Arctic convoys and just so just for the listeners that are unfamiliar with the Arctic convoys, they took vital supplies to Russia during the Second World War.
Well, what happened was just after I got a draft after I came back out the submarine, we'd taken a few secret agents across to Norway at times in the old submarine, and I was sent off to Harland and Wolff in Belfast to stand by a new ship being built there, and she was built on the same slipway as the Titanic, which didn't give us much hope, but still, she was escort carrier, one of the three sisters. There was the Vindex, Norana, and Campania. The Campania was the last of the three, and she was British built and riveted and really built for the Arctic seas, the Arctic waters there. And anyway, I stood by her until all my stuff came aboard, and the Adzik cabinet was just above the bilges, right down in, underneath the recreation space, down two decks down. So we're about 27 foot beneath the waterline on there. But the Adzik cabinet was a small room with two sets and a telephone in it. Also in the machinery flat just outside the door was a notice in a square box there. In the event of the ship being abandoned or captured, the duty operator would take the cutters and cut the cable, drop it in the dome, which was a secret dome, out from the bottom there, and place a hand grenade in each set and pull the pins out, and you have 7 seconds to get up the ladder to the deck above. So we all agreed that rather than die in freezing water, we'd sooner go off with a bang. So the three of us all signed agreement that we'd stay down there.
Yeah, 7 seconds isn't long, isn't it? You'd have to be pretty quick up that ladder.
Yeah. And make sure the damage control were opening it from the other side.
So what was life like for you in comparison to being on a submarine?
No comparison at all. You had a nice hammock to sleep in and everything else, and good messmates, and very, very good. And I commissioned her at the same time. And also, I was there when she paid off after the war finished in Europe. So, a very happy time aboard her on there.
And yeah, because I did a little bit of research on HMS Campania. And so she decommissioned, didn't she, around about 1945?
Was replaced. Excellent Britain ship.
And just placed in reserve.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought you might say that you'd certainly prefer being on the surface ships rather than being on submarines, because there's no hot bunking, is there, on a surface ship? So that's important.
My experience of a submarine did not enhance me at all to stay on the submarine.
And so I understand as well that you were involved in a Force 15 storm.
That was in February 1945. What had happened was Fort Airway, if the war was getting very bad for Germany, and the Russian troops were in the outskirts of Berlin at that time. When we got into Murmansk, U-boats through finally, we had to fight our way through into Kola Inlet, which was only a mile and a half wide, but it was heavily mined across there, so we had to be careful going in and out. But anyway, the whole point about it was we actually made our way into Murmansk. While we were there, we heard there was a group of Norwegians going to be taken into Germany as a living wall in front of the Russian troops, with the idea that Hitler had that they wouldn't shoot with Norwegians. But we knew the Russians better than that. We knew there'd be no chance at all that they would shoot anybody to get back into Berlin. From then on, we decided that we were going to rescue these. I was transferred to one of the destroyers, and I was what they call a section leader. We landed, and we beached at low tide, and all these people come. We sent up a red Very light, and the few Germans that were there just disappeared. They were old men and boys mostly. They disappeared somewhere. We were told not to bring any prisoners back, and we managed to get all these Norwegians back on board the three destroyers. We took them back to Russia, to Murmansk, and Stalin wouldn't allow them to land because they didn't have passports. So we had to distribute them amongst the merchant ships, because they couldn't put them on the RN ships, ready to take back to England. And the oldest one was an old lady of 86, and the youngest one was a baby born while they were being moved onto the ships there. And most unfortunate part there, one of the merchant ships had about 15 Norwegians on board, Henry Bacon. She developed engine trouble, and she dropped astern of the convoy. And as soon as it was noticed, we sent off our Wildcats to have a fight. She said she was being bombed by German aircraft. They were using her as target practice. When they got there, sure enough, the Henry Bacon had been sunk. But all the crew, which were Lascars, wonderful people, they had given their place up in the lifeboats to the Norwegians, and we rescued every Norwegian, and not one of those Lascars survived. They went down with their ship. They were very, very brave men.
And that was incredible.
That was when the storm.
When we came out from there, as we came out, we got hit a false 12, which quickly developed into a false 15, and then when we lost the speedometer off the flight deck, it took off like an Autogyro. We didn't know what the speed was of the wind. But anyway, it was mountainous waves. And although we were had the engine in reverse, we were being pushed towards the Norwegian coast. And for 3 days, we were going before the gale, although the engines were in reverse. About 1,600 hours on the third day, the skipper decided there's going to be a window in the weather and there, but it wasn't open very far. But when we got to 1600 hours, we were told to triple lash everything down on the board ship. And I was directed to close up the Asdic cabinet. And I thought, well, the best thing to do is to sling my hammock fore and aft. And I was climbing to my hammock with duffel coat on and my life belt. And I'll just swing around them on the hammock on there. Well, luckily I was just by the embarkation steps on there. You know, those big, heavy, 6 foot wide steps up there, with fitted with gimbals at the top. And as we turned, a 90 foot wave came and hit us sideways on. We slid down into the trough of the next wave, and we had the full force of the wave crash down on the starboard side, which burst open the embarkation doors, which were just underneath the flight deck. And hundreds of tons of freezing cold water came straightway into my mess deck. And in no time at all, it had sheared all the lockers off at deck level, which were welded to the decks under the quarter sand. And what with the lockers being pushed around as well, I was still swinging in my hammock. And I saw one of these lockers go across the other side of the ship and hit one of the chaps from the flight deck party who was trying to get into his hammock. And he collapsed into the water, which was about 2'6" deep. And then as we sloshed back the other side again, in the tilt basin, when I stood Harland and Wolf, 33 degrees was the point of no return. We actually rolled 48 degrees either side, and we shipped water in from both sides. And of course the water was like a mountainous wave inside. And I saw this chap, which I thought was dead. He was floating in the water. And then the high octane pipes, which we had on the mess deck from high octane fuel, started spilling water, petrol onto the top of the water. And then a ventilating fan caught fire, set fire to the petrol. And I thought it was about time I got out of my hammock, and my backside was getting a bit warm. So I abandoned my hammock, and in doing so, I grabbed hold of this chap as he went past me. And a sheer luck, I got him on the bottom step of the ladders. And as the ship rolled, it more or less lifted me up to the level of the next deck, where I was able to pull him off up to there. I thought he was dead. But anyway, he had a fractured skull. Myself and another shipmate took him down to the sick bay. I handed him over to the SBA, heard nothing more about him. I never saw him back on the ship again. I just thought he'd died. But it was only years later that I had a letter from a gentleman in Aberdeen to say that his father was also on board HMS Campania and had suffered a serious accident. And the only information he'd got was a hurt or wound certificate with the name of able seaman Alan as a witness to his accident. Was I the Alec Penstone? They traced me through the county press in the island here. So I was able to phone him up and say, yes, I was the same one. And I said, have you got all his dad's paper? So he said, no, I've got nothing of it at all except this hurt or wound certificate.
He died.
Yeah. Oh, he died. Yeah, he died on a cycle accident. Yeah, he got run over. But he survived the war. But yeah, the fractured skull. But anyway, his son Jim, who was a medic in Aberdeen, came all the way down to the Isle of Wight to see me on his motorbike. And we're still in touch with each other. Mm-hmm. But I was able to get his dad all his medals. And a black blue nose certificate and everything else that he was
that's brilliant.
The baby that was born during the exodus from Soray in the 70s, some of the lads of the North Russia Club decided we'd try and find what happened to the baby, and we advertised in the Norwegian press, and lo and behold, we found her, and we brought her home to England to give her a holiday with her family. By that time, she had a family of her own. It was wonderful, really, to be able to meet somebody that you had actually saved. And I was very, very happy about that.
Oh, yeah, that's incredible. And it sounds like when you're explaining, the time caught in that Storm 15, it sounds like a plot almost of a disaster film. Yes. Obviously, of course, this is it's real life.